Hello, you're listening to Academy of Blues, a Chelsea FC podcast from LA, CA, USA. Happy listening to you, listener. Thanks for joining us on this very special Academy of Blues podcast episode. It's almost May, and just like we are, the boys in blue are still in COVID-19 lockdown, unable to play football, unable to give us the joy of watching Chelsea FC. Though the team has been quiet on the field, it's been quite busy off of it, fighting a brand new rival in the form of COVID-19. For now, the score and the advantage in the game remains in COVID's favor. But if Chelsea has shown us anything over the years, it's that they're willing to fight until the last kick of the ball. So today, we examine how the club has been busy during football's longest hiatus in our lives so far. We also continue our podcast within a podcast, our series Road to Champions League Glory, where we're rewinding to 2012 and our Champions League journey. So far, the Academy of Blues podcasting journey for me has been enjoyable, and it's been one that I haven't had to do on my own. At every turn in every episode's recording, I've had a partner in crime. The DJ Drogba to my Frank Lampard. The Petr Cech to my John Terry. A good and faithful member of this team. A co-host who likes to weave in and out of show topics the way Eden Hazard would against Premier League defenders. Today, I'm joined again by the main man himself, Daniel Gonzalez. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing good. Man, one of these days, you're going to write a book. That's just going to be the entire intro of the podcast.
Dude, I can't wait to write that book. I'm excited about it. Listen, I want to do something special. Listeners, I want to let you know that this episode is being recorded just a day after Daniel celebrated his 24th birthday. So join me in wishing him a happy, happy birthday. Daniel, happy birthday.
Wow, thanks. I didn't expect this.
Surely you're wishing for the beautiful game to make a comeback. That's your birthday wish.
I blew up my candles and that's all I was thinking of.
But because I know about it, maybe it won't come true quite just yet.
Ah, shoot. I mean, I didn't. That wasn't true.
Yeah. We don't know the rules on birthday wishing stuff, so we're amateurs. But we know the rules in soccer, so when I was a kid growing up, we handed birthday punches to our friends and we celebrated their birthdays in that way. I'm not going to do that to you today. Instead, I'm going to deliver to you virtual birthday punches by putting you up against 24 Chelsea quiz questions.
Oh, gosh.
That you did not know about. Just finding about.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be one question for every year that you celebrated in your life. For every single question I give you, you can get one hint.
Okay.
Now, some of these questions are going to be incredibly hard. Some of them are going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But I believe in you.
All
right. I 100% believe in you.
I hope to make a starting 11. Just I need to get 11 right. That's my goal.
There is a starting 11 question.
Oh, boy.
Somewhere in there. And just a disclaimer for our listeners, I'm going to edit out the pauses and the silences where Daniel's thinking because I want to allow him as much time as possible to think, but I don't want to take much of your time while we're sitting here thinking. So if Daniel seems to be answering all the questions super quickly.
No, that's how I do. That's I go lightning round. No, I don't think about things. No,
that's not at all what's happening. But I do promise to put in everything that he says over the next few minutes as he takes this quiz. So, Daniel, when you're ready, say I'm ready.
I'm ready to go. Let's go. Okay, let's do this.
Question number one. Name at least 16 first team members of the current Chelsea team.
Oh, 16.
16.
Okay. Oh, man. Now I'm put on the spot. All right. Caballero. That's my first
one. That's your first one.
Kepa. Tomori. Jeez, I'm going so weird. I'm going backwards. All right. Tomori. Christensen. Azpilicueta, Reece James, Emerson, Alonso, Zuma, Jorginho, Conte, Kovacic, Ross Barkley, Danny Drinkwater's on loan.
It does not count.
Does not count. Tammy Abraham, Christian Pulisic. What am I at?
You're at 15.
I'm at 15? Oh, easier than I thought. And Callum Hudson-Odoi, Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
You did it. I was using my fingers to count, and that is a fail-proof system. So you pass. One for one.
Oh, man.
Okay. Name at least 10 current or former Chelsea managers.
Oh, that's going to be rough. Okay.
You got this.
I got this. Oh, boy. Frank Lampard, Maurizio Sarri, Antonio Conte. I'm going backwards. Mourinho? Gus Hiddink. That counts.
You're at five.
Roberto Di Matteo.
Six.
Andre Villas-Boas.
Seven.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Eight.
Boy, oh boy. Steve Hunt. No. Oh, boy. Oh, I should know more.
I'll give you a hint.
All right, I get a hint for this.
That might be able to give you a couple of names. Interim managers.
The only one I got is Gus Hiddink. Shoot.
When Jose Mourinho left in 2004, in 2007.
I know I'm missing something. I can't.
This guy took over and took us to the Champions League final.
Oh, man, I feel so bad. This is the podcast. I'm not kidding. Assistant managers don't count.
They don't.
Oh, man. No, that might be it. I don't like thinking.
Okay, that's fine. I don't like
thinking. He's Dutch.
He's not Dutch.
He's not Dutch.
He is Israeli.
No, I'm not going to get this.
Avram Grant.
Oh, I should have got that. We talked about him.
And the other interim manager, Rafa Benitez.
He was interim?
He was.
Oh, my goodness.
He took over for Robbie Di Matteo when he got fired.
Oh, because, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I always thought of him as just a regular. I'd prefer not to think of Rafa Benitez.
And then the other two that you missed in the time that I've been watching Chelsea,
yes.
since the Roman days, are Claudio Ranieri and Luis Felipe Scolari.
I should have gotten all of this. I know all of those things.
It was a hard question. This one should be easy, but you only get one try.
One try. Okay.
Who is the oldest player in the first team currently?
Ooh, Caballero.
Yes. Question number four. So you're 2 for 3right now.
2 for 3.
Question number four. What squad number did Didier Drogba have upon his arrival? Hint, it was not number 11. And he's known for his number 11.
Yes.
But he had a different number before.
I need the 11. Ooh.
I don't think anyone's got that number right now.
So many of the... Every single highlight I've seen has him wearing the 11. Mm. I don't think... Like with Hazard, his highlight videos include number 10 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen any other Drogba.
Okay, Kurt Zouma's wearing it right now.
Shoot, what is Kurt Zouma? I haven't seen him in so long. Is it 20-something?
Uh-uh.
30-something?
Uh-uh.
Really? Gosh, what is Zouma wearing?
It's in the teens.
It's in the teens? 16?
Oh, 15. Let's go. It's 15. 15. It is 15.
Oh, man.
Okay, 2 for 4.
Gosh.
Okay, here's your name the Chelsea XI question.
Okay.
Or Chelsea 11 question. Name the Chelsea 11 from your first Chelsea game that you watched.
Okay, West Ham.
Chelsea against West Ham.
2-1.
Yep.
Not Drogba. Diego Costa scored in the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I know Hazard is playing. Okay, here we go. Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, who's our right back?
Right back was Ivanovic.
Yep. There's center backs.
Terry. Cahill.
Yep. Left back.
Azpilicueta.
Yep.
Formation was a 4-2-3-1, right?
Yep. Two in the middle.
Matic.
Yep.
No, it was Conte.
Yep.
I was going to say Fabregas. It was Conte.
And then the three in front of them?
Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar.
Uh-huh.
Wait, this is the one. I know Diego Costa. I know Diego Costa was there. On the right, was it Willian?
Yes.
There we go. Okay.
And then up top?
Diego Costa.
Okay. Okay, are you ready for question number 6?
I'm ready.
Chelsea set the transfer record by an English team in the summer of 2006 by splashing £30 million on one player. Name the player.
2006?
2006.
Oh, boy. This, from 2004 to 2010, it's just a blur to me. 2006. We already had Lampard, right?
We did.
We did have Lampard. That was after 2004.
Let me know if you need a hint.
I'll take a hint right now.
Okay. I'll give you two hints.
Oh, okay.
We talked about this guy in one of our episodes where we talked about the owner signings.
Okay.
And he was a player signed from AC Milan.
Nope. AC Milan. Damn. I'm just going to start throwing out names. It's not Robin.
Mm-mm.
It's not even a good guess. Oh. I'm going to be mad about this one, right?
I think you are.
Oh, no.
Do you want me to give you another hint?
Yes, please.
First name, Andre. Last name, Shev.
Shevchenko. Gosh, that was so bad.
We will not give you that one.
No. Oh, man. No, we don't.
Question number 7. This is about your favorite player of all time. N'Golo Kanté plays for the French national team. What African nation would he have been eligible to play for had he not represented France?
Oh, that one's killing me. You know how many countries there are in Africa?
55.
Ooh.
As of now.
You're a native.
I am a native. Yeah. Okay. N'Golo Kanté would have been eligible to play for Mali.
Okay. I would have not caught that in a million years.
Okay. Next question. In 2011... In January of 2011, Fernando Torres was signed from Liverpool on deadline day. Who is the other player also signed on deadline day?
Oh, man. You got to be. 2011? I wasn't even born. 2011.
You get one.
Okay, give me my hint right now.
He was brought in from Benfica.
Benfica. Oh, man. See, the problem is that when I guess things, it's going to also show my lack of knowledge. From Benfica. This is 9 years ago.
It's your birthday. I'll be nice to you. Three players that have played for Chelsea and Benfica. The three that I know for sure that have played for Chelsea and Benfica are Raul Mireles, Ramirez, and David Luiz.
Ramirez.
Wrong. David
Luiz. Dang. I didn't know he's been there for that long.
It was David Luiz.
Which shows, when was Ramirez signed?
Ramirez was one of AVB. No. Ramirez was signed the summer before. So you weren't that far off.
David Luiz is just a deadline day kind of person.
Yeah,
huh?
He really is.
No one's first choice is David Luiz.
For every club he's moved to. Upon his second coming, Jose Mourinho made two big profile signings. Just so you know, this wasn't like immediately after he joined, it was in his second season. He made two big profile signings. Who are they?
This would have been 2015, right?
At the beginning of the 2014-15 season.
Okay. My bad. Yeah, third season Mourinho.
No, second season Mourinho.
No, I meant, Mourinho. He's a three season guy.
Yeah.
Two and a half season guy.
Yeah.
Diego Costa.
Yes.
2014. Big profile. Definitely wasn't Willian.
No.
Because he was joined right after the Champions League.
Yep.
Hazard joined after the Champions League. Matic wasn't really like a big signing.
Mm-mm.
Fabregas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well done. We are going to give you...
That was a combo thing right there.
What clubs did they come from?
Diego Costa. Oh, man. Fabregas, Barcelona.
Yes.
I'm just taking that out of the way.
All right.
Diego Costa, what was he doing before Chelsea? Have we talked about this before?
I don't think we have.
It wasn't like a big...
It's a big club.
It's a big club.
Yeah.
It's not Atletico.
It is Atletico.
It is Atletico.
Yeah,
there it is.
It is. Well done.
I'm saying it's not Atletico in like a questioning... Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't...
Yeah. You made me doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take one of two answers for this next question.
All right.
And you will be able to get one hint still.
Okay.
Question number 10. Manchester City legend Frank Lampard became Chelsea's highest goal scorer of all time by scoring against which club? And how many goals did he end up with at the end of his Chelsea career?
Oh my goodness. Stats. Man, this is... These are questions you should be asking to Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, I should.
Okay, I'm ready for my hint.
Okay. When Frank Lampard scored the goal that made him the highest goal scorer, we were playing at Villa Park.
Villa Park?
Villa Park.
Villa Park?
The stadium name is Villa Park.
Aston Villa.
Yes. Well then.
I thought that was way too... I thought it was like... That must be like, there must be some catch to this.
No. It was Aston Villa, and Frank Lampard ended up scoring 211 times for Chelsea. This next question, I will give you two chances
okay.
to get it right. Didier Drogba is one of Chelsea's highest goal scorers ever. Where does he rank amongst Chelsea's top scorers?
Okay, I thought he was second. The way you phrased that makes me think he's not second. Oh, man. Is he third?
He is not.
He's in the top five.
Definitely in the top five.
Is he not second?
He's not second. He's
is he fifth?
He's not fifth.
Oh, my goodness. All right. He's Arsenal number then.
He is Arsenal number. He loves Arsenal. We'll give you mm-hmm. the point for that one. When Didier Drogba scored against Manuel Neuer in 2012 in the Champions League final, mm-hmm. which side did he shoot towards? You got to picture it, man. You got
to
picture
it. I'm trying to picture it. Left.
His left? Final answer?
Yes.
Okay, that is correct.
Oh, man, that made me so nervous. I was in the penalty shootout. Right. I feel like I was in the penalty shootout.
To the nearest thousands, what is the capacity of Stamford Bridge?
Oh, man. I just knew this last week. Oh, no. 40? Like, way off, right? 50.
No. 60. All right. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not even. It's 42,000.
Oh, you were close. I was thinking like, 10,000. That's
Oh, you were thinking 10,000.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give you that one. Because you thought that, you went with 40, we'll give you that one.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
London has 8 professional clubs. What club has their stadium closest to Stamford Bridge?
Just in professional clubs, not Premier League clubs.
Not Premier League, professional.
Is it QPR?
No.
Oh, man. It's not Fulham?
It is Fulham.
It's Fulham. There you go. That was my second.
If you got it wrong again, I wouldn't have let you in. Okay, you should know this because this is from your time as a Chelsea fan.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All right. Question number 15. Chelsea beat Arsenal 4-1 in the Europa League final last season in Baku. Name the goal scorers in that game.
Hazard. Oh. Man, I feel so terrible now. I knew Hazard twice. It's not Hazard 3 times.
It's not.
William?
Nope.
No. Pedro?
Yes.
It was one of those two. Okay.
Well, you got 3 out of 4, so I'm going to give you this one anyways.
Is it a defender?
No.
Dang.
It is a player who left Arsenal to win trophies and score in
Ashley
finals.
Cole Fabregas. Just a million Aubameyang. Oh man, where am I? I'm going crazy right now. I'm really killing myself over this one. This is really terrible. Giroud.
Olivier Giroud.
Ah.
Well done.
Oh yeah, that's right, because he didn't celebrate.
Exactly. Question number 16. Name the last 3 Chelsea sponsors. Just to be clear, these would be sponsors whose logos would be written across.
Are you counting 3?
The chest. The last 3.
Okay, so not counting 3.
I'm not counting 3.
Okay.
The 3 is our future sponsor.
Yes. Yokohama Tires.
Yokohama Tires.
Samsung. Oh, this was a while ago then. This was that was like the 2000s.
We left them in 2005.
Ooh. Is it a car company?
No. It is the current sponsor for PSG and Arsenal.
Oh.
And maybe Real Madrid.
Emiratis?
Yes, Fly Emirates.
Emirates.
Got this. We're going to give you a point for that. Name this player. If you get this one right, I'm going to give you 3 points.
Oh, boy. That's a hard question.
Name this player. He won the Premier League twice with Chelsea and then won it again with Leicester City. He was signed for Chelsea by Claudio Ranieri. And then he was signed for Leicester by Claudio Ranieri.
Defender. Oh, what's his name?
German defender. Big guy.
Huth.
Yes, Robert Huth. And he scores 3 points with that.
I remember playing against Leicester in 2016 and you telling me while we were playing the game, this guy played for Chelsea.
I got to tell you, have an incredible friend in me. That's just amazing. Okay, question number 18. You're doing well. Those 3 points right there really brought you...
I'm back.
Yeah, they brought you back.
I'm making a comeback. It's 2012.
This is an Eden Hazard question from last season. Eden Hazard had his best season for us last season, when it comes to his output in front of goal. In the Premier League, how many goals and assists did he get?
15 goals.
Uh-huh.
13 assists. No.
Wrong.
Dang it. There's more assists.
15 and 13 was actually how he did in 2000 in the Conte's first season. He did 15 goals, 13 assists.
Oh man, am I crazy? It was 15 goals, right?
No.
You're talking about last season?
Last season. He scored more and he assisted more than what you said.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh man. Okay, I'm going to go with my final answer. This is just straight up.
Before you do that, it totaled to 31.
17-14?
No, 16-15.
Dang.
You do not get a point for
that
one.
I do not.
Name, question number 19. Name the last three kit suppliers for Chelsea.
Nike. Adidas.
Adidas.
Oh, man. Is there other kit suppliers out there? I don't even know. Trying to think. Who does Leicester write it? Puma?
It's not Puma.
No, it's not working for me.
Umbro.
But who even... Nobody's even... They don't even do anybody anymore.
They don't. They really don't. If you get this next question right, I'm going to give you 2 points. But you have to get it right in your first try.
Okay. That's not looking good so far.
I think this is... I think it's doable, but it is kind of tricky. I'm going to give you the names of three Chelsea legends. One has won 3 Premier League titles. One has won 4. And the last one has won 5 Premier League titles. Rank them based on how many titles they won with Chelsea. So I want you to say, this person won 3, this person won 4, this person won 5.
Okay.
Okay. The three names I'm going to give you are John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba.
Okay. Drogba won 3.
Okay.
Lampard won 4.
Okay.
Terry won 5.
Wrong.
Dang.
Missed out on 2 points. Lampard won 3, Drogba won 4, John Terry won 5.
Wow. Lampard only won 3.
Lampard only won 3 because Jose Mourinho got rid of him as soon as he came back to the club. Who has the most appearances for Chelsea in the current team?
Who has the most appearances in the current team?
Mm-hmm. He also happens to be the longest serving player in our current squad.
William. It's not Aspie, is it?
It's Aspie.
I was going between William and Aspie.
I know.
And I couldn't. Oh, man.
I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't William.
I feel bad about that one.
Well, I gave you that point. In your first season following Chelsea, we beat Man United 4-0 at the Bridge. Who scored that day?
Pedro?
Yep.
Conte?
Yep.
That was 1-4.
Yep.
Hazard?
3, yep.
Okay.
Yes, well done.
I remember that game well.
You should get this next question. In your first season following Chelsea, who scored the goal in a 1-0 win that sealed the title for us?
Batshuayi.
Against what team?
I'm going to say West Brom.
It was West Bromwich Albion.
Hey, look at that.
That's correct. That is an extra point.
You just have to ask me questions from when I started watching. I got this.
All right, your last question.
My history, I got to brush up on.
All right, you have one last question. Name Antonio Conte's first signing when he came to Chelsea.
Okay, so here's the thing. I wasn't watching Chelsea at this time.
You weren't.
This is in the summer. Okay.
But it's your birthday. It's your 24th birthday. This is your 24th question. And I made it tailored for you.
N'Golo Conte.
Yes. Well done. Let's
when
see
was
how many you got right.
Scored? Scored? I mean, scored. When was Batshuayi transferred then?
Batshuayi also came in that season, but he was the second signing.
Because I know when I started watching, Conte was signed and Batshuayi was signed.
19. You got 19 out of 24.
But one of those was a three-pointer.
One of them was a three-pointer and one of them was a two-pointer.
Okay. That's
so.
That's a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah, you did 19 out of 24. Man. And with that, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Daniel, well, thanks for playing along in that little impromptu birthday quiz that took most of the time that we've had so far. What I want to talk about right now is just a small little part that I'm calling Busy Bee Blues, because they've been keeping themselves busy, those blues. So even though the coronavirus has us in a place where we can't really play or watch any soccer at all, that hasn't stopped the Chelsea team and the Chelsea players from being very busy when it comes to, one, how they're working out in their training from their homes, and two, just different activities that the club is involved in right now. With that, that also means that the media has also been very busy in linking us to different players that we might potentially transfer, etc. So the first thing I want to talk about, the two biggest players that we've been linked with this week are Felipe Coutinho from Barcelona / Bayern Munich. We got linked to him. And then we have also been linked to one of the players of the enemy, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Arsenal. So I want to get your thoughts on both these players. Do you think we should get them? How much do you think they would cost? Anything, all thoughts that you have on these guys, I want to hear.
Okay, me first.
You first.
Okay, first off.
It is your birthday.
Thanks. Yes, it is. First off, I'm not the biggest Coutinho fan. Like, the way I personally, like, watch, like, the game being played, so I'm really a big fan of those, like, for lack of a better term, the Mourinho type players, the hard workers, the sprinters and stuff. So I really like Conte. I really like Azpilicueta.
Yeah. You like Pedro.
I like Pedro. I'll vouch for Pedro every time. Yeah. That guy runs every second of every match.
Yeah.
I love seeing him, like, 90th minute sprinting down, you know, winning tackles, things like that. I like Moses.
Moses.
I don't think he's a great player, but I like him.
Yeah, he works hard.
And I don't think Coutinho is like that. He feels like that sort of player, like, expensive. He feels like that sort of player that's added on to an already great team. And I don't think Coutinho is the type of player that will bring a team that's okay / good to a great level.
I agree. Well said. You can't have a lot of Coutinhos in a team. And I feel like we already have Coutinhos in our team. We just got Hakim Ziyech, who isn't known for the amount of work he puts in, like, defensively or chasing the ball down or tracking whatever, back. Or tracking back. But he is a player who is known for his creative output and his goal scoring. And Coutinho is that kind of player. And we can't have several of those players, because when we do that, the worst games that we've had, or a lot of the times when we've been able to get defeated by smaller teams, is when we have plenty of those players and we are vulnerable on the counterattack because we don't have the right kind of people pressing from the front lines. So for that reason, I'm against Coutinho as well. Plus, Barcelona paid 131 or 34 million for him from Liverpool. And they're trying to make back as much money from that as possible. And what I heard is they value him at 75 million and they'd be willing to let him go for 65 million, which would be insane for me.
Especially now that teams aren't making as much money.
Exactly. So I hope that we don't get him. He would be coming in to stop the progress and growth that Mason Mount has been able to have. And already there's a lot of competition for space within this team, with Mason Mount, Pulisic, and Hudson-Odoi, at least one of them having to spend time on the bench when the other two are playing. So Coutinho, I would say, is a no-go for me. Aubameyang, what do you think?
I love him. Oh, I take him in an instant.
Really?
I didn't really have to say I would. Okay, he's old.
He's old.
He plays for Arsenal, but come on. How many players have we got from Arsenal that go on to win the title?
That's very true. We've gotten almost every single Arsenal player that we've signed has gone on to do great things with us that they weren't able to do with Arsenal.
The thing about him coming over is that I don't think he might impede Tammy's development for a season. I don't think that Aubameyang would be here more than a season if he did come to Chelsea in one season. I would take that. I know he's got a lot of career left in him, and he probably wants a contract of, like, 2 years at the least, given that he's at the end of his career and he wants to, like, make as much before he retires. But that's a striker. That's like a real striker who can lead the line. Who
proven in the Premier League as well.
Absolutely. And it's what we really need right now.
Yeah. Because
with the players that we have a lot of unproven raw talent. We have a few players like in their primes. What we really need is a steady head, someone who's experienced, someone who knows what they're doing, proven. And I think Aubameyang is that player who can be that sort of in-between player that won't be like a Chelsea legend, but also won't be a flop. I don't think right. he'll be a flop no matter where he goes.
Right. How much would you be willing to pay for Aubameyang if you're the Chelsea board? And mind you, you're still trying to get the likes of Jadon Sancho, Ben Chilwell.
I don't think it's... Okay, here's the thing, though. I don't think it's actually going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Because we... Chelsea definitely are looking at other types of players, looking at wingers, looking at left backs, which are far more important spaces to fill up at the moment. Our striker situation isn't too bad if Giroud thinks of renewing, and we still have Tammy, who's young and getting better every day. I don't think it's sort of a, if it happens, it happens. Like if the offer is made, if Aubameyang's pushing to leave and if Arsenal are willing to let him go for a small enough fee, it'll happen.
Makes sense.
So a relatively small fee. I'd say like 30 million or below.
They should be willing to let him go for that much because he's entering his last, the last year in his contract with them. So mm-hmm. if they don't sell him this season, then they're going to have to let him walk for free the following season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd rather cash in on him, knowing Arsenal anyways. So it'll be interesting to see how that one develops. But it's interesting too because if Aubameyang comes in, then we have to get rid of Michy Batshuayi.
Yeah. Gosh, I like him, but I don't like him.
Yeah.
That's the analysis you're coming to expect from Academy of Wolves. I like him, but I don't.
I like him, but I don't. Yeah, so Aubameyang, we're going to keep our eye on that one because it's going to be interesting. Again, there's nothing official that has come from the club or the player himself or anything linking him to Chelsea. It's just newspapers are going out and suggesting it. But it's big newspapers like The Guardian and Sky Sports, mm-hmm. so it has some weight to it. The next thing that I wanted us to talk about, players are refusing to take a wage cut. When I say refuse, let me put that in quotations, they refuse to take a wage cut. The club has come to an agreement with them that they get to keep 100% of their wages, but instead, they're going to have to up their charitable work instead, in light of everything that's happening with the coronavirus. You and I, after the podcast recording ended last week, had an interesting conversation about player wage cuts. I want you to tell me again everything that you said back then.
Okay. So to summarize the situation, and I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, you do.
Because I thought about it a lot. But to summarize the situation, people are calling for a lot of soccer players to have wage cuts because, rightfully so, fans and just other members of society, normal people, see these players as like, you know, they're just playing a sport, they're making these hundreds of thousands of dollars and pounds a week, they're incredibly rich, and they're not actually even doing it right now. Why do we need to be, why are they getting paid when other members of the staff are getting like furloughed or right. taking cuts to their wages? Right. Why do these like kids who are doing nothing all day deserve to get paid? And people are calling for them like to take like, hey, just take away all their wages, take away 50% of their wages.
Yeah.
And I am very vehemently, however you pronounce that word. I can spell it. I can't say it. Vehemently opposed to this, actually. And you weren't.
I wasn't.
Did I convince you?
Not quite. You might by the end of this.
Okay.
But go on.
My point of view on it is that maybe they can have a small wage cut. That would be fair. But number one, my least good point is that these players aren't just not doing anything. They still have to stay in shape. They still have to work out. They still have like regimented diets and exercise that they have to do. And arguably, it might be even harder now because they don't have the motivation of being around their friends and their teammates. And they're not going to a place with trainers. They're right. at home doing this by themselves.
Right.
When their every instinct is probably telling them, just lay down on the couch, play some video games and chill.
Right.
Which everybody else is doing at the moment. Is just laying around doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it must be hard for them to just do all these workouts, pretty much do exactly the same thing without all the benefits of having the training facility open to them. So that's number one. not a strong point, but it's a point. My biggest point is that these players, they don't have, unlike other people who are getting wages cut, this is very valuable time that they have, their youth, to be making this money. They're not making this money forever. They're not like millionaires or billionaires or businessmen that like, oh, they should just take a pay cut because nothing's happening. They should pay their workers. These players have, let's say you break into the first team at 22 years old and you're making great wages from then. You're not making great wages as a teenager unless you're breaking into the first team then. Unless you're Fabregas breaking in at, what, 16?
Yeah.
Or something. Unless you're Fabregas, you're not making incredible wages at a soccer club at that age. So these players are, some of them, probably just getting into their real money that they're getting. So let's say you break in at 22 and say you retire at 35 or so at the latest, unless you're a goalkeeper, in which case you can retire whenever you want. So you have a viable about 13 years of your career. That 13 years of money has to last you basically for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you have about 13 years to make all the money you're going to make in your life.
Exactly. Unless you're one of the very few players who are good at public speaking, smart, able to become a pundit or something like that.
Or you go into management.
Yeah, right. Which I don't know about you, but
9 out of 10 players don't.
Yeah, soccer players aren't exactly known for their smarts. A lot of them don't go to school to play soccer.
They do not.
Like, none of them are like college students. None of them are doing that sort of thing because, you know, they're training. They're planning to be professionals from when they're 10 years old. This is what they put their entire life into.
Right.
They have this much time to make all the money they can, and then from then on, figure it out. We know, because we talked about this, I now know that Chelsea has classes to teach players how to keep their money, because they often get tricked into investment schemes that can lead to them losing a lot of their money from shady deals and stuff like that. I don't think that they're the people that people... These players aren't the rich people that people should be looking at to cut their wages and give more to charity.
Well said.
It should be business owners. It should be people like Roman Abramovich,
yeah,
who are making this income no matter what they do every single day. They're making hundreds of times more than these players make every time, and they don't have any stopgap. They don't have anything that's going to... I've gone on very long.
No, keep going.
And I'm rambling at this point. But there's no... I feel like it's unfair to call for this 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 26-year-old even players to say, hey, you're making too much. Give away all your money.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to give you one more reason as to... I'm going to be on your side and give one more reason as to why players shouldn't go for a wage cut. But then I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So my reason... for white players, everything that you said is spot on, I think. Beyond that, if I'm Mason Mount and the Chelsea board is asking me, hey, you need to take a 30% wage cut or whatever that is, I have to ask myself, why are they asking me this? Is it because Chelsea is struggling for money, or is it because they're trying to save money, or is it because they are trying to up their charity work or whatever that might be.
Mm.
And chances are the reason that a lot of players are being asked to take a wage cut is because teams have this uncertainty about what the transfer window is going to be when it reopens. Maybe players will be super expensive or maybe players won't be. A lot of teams won't have money to spend on players the way that they want to. So if Chelsea players are taking a wage cut so that Chelsea can go into the transfer market and spend more money, then as Mason Mount, I'm giving up some of my wages so that the club could potentially fund somebody who's going to come in and compete for my place or take my place in the squad, which doesn't make sense. So I do agree with that players shouldn't have to be forced to do that.
And these wage cuts aren't... they're not going to a hospital. Like, if you take away 10% of Mason Mount's money, it's not going to a nurse or a doctor.
No, it's just that the club is not paying it anymore. Yeah. However, on the other side of that is players are still doing what they're paid to do, which is train, keep a certain level of like fitness, mindset, all that stuff. However, a huge part of what they get paid to do is turn up on the weekend, invite in 40,000 people into Stamford Bridge and play in front of them. And they haven't been doing that for the last almost 2 months now. Granted, not their fault, but then they haven't been doing that. So if they're not doing that, it doesn't make sense for them to be getting the same amount of money that they would, because the club is not making the same kind of money that it would. And from everything that I've read and seen, Chelsea is a club that prides itself in running itself as a business, as opposed to Roman Abramovich is there as this like super rich uncle who just like funds everything. Maybe that was true in the first few years of Roman's era, but Chelsea has really turned the tide when it comes to that. And now it's a club that is being run with a lot of financial stability and everything. So as this club, as this business itself isn't making any money, then it makes sense that the people in it also wouldn't make as much money. And most of a club's expenses go to player salaries because they get millions upon millions every year. So for that reason, I think that negotiating wage cuts was a fair thing. What I do like, though, is that there isn't a certain level of selfishness from the club or from the players. Because selfishness would have said, we're not going to pay you. The club would, if the club was selfish, they would have said, we're not going to pay you, and you're not, and we're not going to do as much as we're doing to help different charities and organizations. And if the players were as selfish, they would have said, no, you're going to pay me, and I'm just going to make sure that I keep my money because I don't know what the future holds, etc. How the agreement that has been reached is, okay, players, we're going to keep paying you as much money as we've been paying you. But what we are asking you to do is go out and actually represent the club in different areas and represent the club by leading certain charitable causes. I know that Christian Pulisic is partnering with Chipotle in Hershey in Pennsylvania. And every Saturday, he's going to be providing meals to hospital workers for the next 4 weeks or for the next 6 weeks or something like that. So I love the fact that the club has ended up encouraging them to do that for two reasons. One, it's a really, really decent thing to do as human beings and on an organizational level. And the second thing is, this is going to cause so many people to become Chelsea fans. This is going to cause a lot of people to actually see Chelsea in a good light, as opposed to this mega rich club that just buys everything and all that. So I'm all for it. I really like the fact that there is a certain level of trust between the players and the club, that a player like Azpilicueta, who's the captain, would go up to the club representing the players and negotiate on behalf of them. It's just awesome to see, at least from our perspective. Well, welcome to part two of today's episode. This is Podception. As Daniel labeled it last week, it is our podcast within a podcast. We are looking at the 2011 and 12 season and reliving some of the highlights of that season, specifically in the Champions League. You are listening to Road to Champions League Glory, an Academy of Blues. So in the last episode, if you haven't listened to it, we encourage you to go back and check it out. But we discussed how that summer was like how Carlo Ancelotti got sacked and Andre Villas-Boas was brought in, some of the transfers that he made, including a young player named Oriol Romeu and Juan Mata. And we also looked at the Champions League group stage draw. In the draw, we got Genk, Bayer Leverkusen, and Valencia. Now, our first game was against Bayer Leverkusen. How did it go, Daniel?
Easy win, 2-0.
Easy win, 2-0. And then our second game was away to Valencia, 1-0. 1. Match day 3, it's away to Genk. We go to Belgium and play against Genk, against a team that had Kevin De Bruyne in it. And we smack them. What was the final score?
5-0 on 5-0 that one.
Nothing.
Even Torres scored.
Even Fernando Torres scored. I think he scored 2, right?
He did.
Yeah, he scored 2. Now, the other thing that we talked about in that podcast, just to review, was some of the tension that was going on between Chelsea's senior players and AVB. AVB came in and he was looking to replace and to renew this Chelsea team that had been going and that had been winning titles and things like that for the past 8 years or so at that point. Unfortunately, I believe that he was trying to do it a little too fast and it didn't go all that well for him. So there was a lot of tension within the club when it came to that. The other pressure slash tension came from the fact that a lot of these players were players that were brought in, and this was a team that was assembled to win the Champions League long before 2012. And many times they came really close to winning it, but ended up failing on every single occasion. So with every passing season, there's more pressure for them to win the Champions League because their careers were surely going to come to an end sooner rather than later. When I think of the backbone of that Chelsea team, I think of Petr Cech, Ashley Cole, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba. All 5 of them at this point are retired. Now granted, that was 8 years ago, but they're all retired. So they were coming to the end of their careers, even in 2012. So there was that kind of pressure. And so now we are going to pick things up in match day 4 of the Champions League, where we play Genk again. And I believe Genk again. That's a funny thing to say, Genk again.
Just going to say it as much as you can.
We were playing Genk once again. And this time, we hosted them. So it was at the Bridge. So in this game, Ramirez scored in the 25th minute. And then Genk ended up bringing it back to 1-1, I believe, in the 68th minute or 73rd or something like that.
61st.
61st. Close. 61st minute.
Doing this all from memory.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The disappointing thing about that game was when you beat a team 5-0 and you play them again 2 weeks later, it doesn't feel like that team should have any chance at all. Because 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, any game where it's like up to where you win by 3 goals, yeah, you win comprehensively, but you don't necessarily think about how this team has no chance against you. But when you go out and beat a team 5-0, clearly one of them is in a different class than the other. But what we saw when it comes to that Chelsea and Genk game in Belgium was this Chelsea team just did not turn up. And there was an interesting thing that I noticed in the last 3 Chelsea games of the group stages in the Champions League. But I'll come back to that a little bit later. So they finish 1-1 against Genk away. A couple of weeks later, it's a game against Bayer Leverkusen. This time, we have to go away to Germany. And so we go to Bayer Leverkusen, and Leverkusen, they beat us. We lose that game 2-1. Didier Drogba scores to give us the lead in the early part of the second half. If I'm not mistaken, it was like the 48th or 49th minute.
48th minute.
48th minute.
Yeah.
And Bayer Leverkusen scored halfway through the second half, I would say, somewhere between like the 65th and 75th minute.
73rd minute.
73rd
there
minute.
There you go.
Spot on.
And last
then I,
one.
And then I do remember this. They scored in stoppage time. 92nd minute?
91st.
91st minute to win it. And that game finishes 2-1.
Oh, there's a Chelsea player on there too.
To Bayer Leverkusen. Yes, former Chelsea player Michael Ballack was playing against us that day. I'm guessing he got a yellow card. I was going to say he either got a yellow card or an assist. I know he didn't score. That's how game 5 goes. And then game 6 is back at Stamford Bridge. It's against Valencia. And we actually are comprehensive winners against Valencia. We beat them 3-0, where Drogba scores 2 and Ramirez scores 1. That's a quick recap of how the second half of the group stage games went. Daniel, when you see this, if you see anything, what do you see?
It's just that Chelsea start off convincing. They start off the first three games with that, a win, a draw, and a win.
Yep.
Not terrible. That Valencia draw probably should have been a win. This is a pretty strong team at this point. This is still Drogba, one of the best, you know, the greatest Chelsea striker in modern history. Frank Lampard, Chelsea top scorer. Petr Cech, best goalkeeper. This is like, if you're going to make a top 11 of all time of Chelsea players, half of them are on this team. And so, yeah, they're still winning games. They're still, like, beating these teams on pure skill alone. But when you look at the actual group stage, like, at the end of the everything that happens, it's Chelsea at the top, 11 points, Bayer Leverkusen with 10 points, Valencia at 8 points, and Genk in last place with 3.
Yeah.
So it's Chelsea wins the group, not convincingly, though. And it kind of feels at this point like a team that's being held back by an inept manager. A team filled with talent, a team that should be going all the way, and it's kind of limping along.
Right. The interesting thing about that Valencia game, going into that game, both Chelsea and Valencia were tied on points. They were both on 8 points. And even though Chelsea had beaten Valencia, even though Chelsea had beaten Genk 5-0 at one point, Valencia had beaten them 6-0, so they had a one goal differential, a better goal differential than Chelsea did. So if it was a draw, Valencia would have finished second, Bayer Leverkusen would have finished first, Chelsea would have finished third. So we would have been out. So this was a game that we definitely needed to win, and we did end up winning it. But yes, you do see the kind of inconsistencies and the ups and downs of this team as you come towards the end of the group stage. The league form was definitely disappointing. I think by this point, Man City had started to really flex in the league, and they were further ahead than us. A couple of notable things that happened in around this time for Chelsea and specifically for AVB. One, Frank Lampard gets fed up with AVB's antics. There were reports of AVB like not making eye contact with him, not talking to him, and if he ever addresses him, it would be singling him out to blame him for certain things. He just made him feel like, he made him feel worth so much less than what Lampard is actually worth to Chelsea and to anybody who would have been in that dressing room with him. The second thing that happened was Didier Drogba ends up putting in a transfer request, which is insane to me because, as the story goes, he ends up winning the Champions League final for us. But Didier Drogba was someone who was so fed up with what AVB was doing that he actually wanted out of the club. And a very, very interesting thing that I found out this week was Didier Drogba wants to transfer out of Chelsea because he's like, it's done. Not going to win the Champions League. It's over. And now this guy comes in and he's doing all this stuff, talking about AVB. And so he was like, I want out. Supposedly, Didier Drogba gets a text message from Frank Lampard, or a thread of text messages from Frank Lampard, asking him and convincing him to stay. Frank Lampard says, if you and I and some of the other guys, probably referring to Cole, Terry, and Cech, if we stay together, we will win the Champions League together. And because of that, Didier Drogba ends up staying and doesn't, and he actually starts performing in the second half of the season. But I just thought, I found it really, really interesting that the one player he was singled out and the one player who was really, really, really mistreated by AVB was the one player who is still acting in the interests of the club and on behalf of the club more so than the manager at the time. Now, it's a very well-documented thing that I do not like AVB, and I love Frank Lampard. So this definitely helps my narrative. This definitely helps and spurs on all the feelings that I have towards both those people. But again, it just makes me happy, and it shows me how much Frank Lampard actually loves and cares for Chelsea. And it also adds just another layer of destiny to that season and how it was turning out.
It's also a testament to how inept AVB really was at this stage. Listening to the story, it's really not the manager that brings them through to this. And even when Di Matteo comes in, it's not so much a manager that's this great Ancelotti type manager that's revitalized the tactics within like a week and brings in. He's really just letting these players go free, which causes them to win these games and make tremendous comebacks.
Totally.
in this Genk game that Chelsea draw with them, Terry's benched, Lampard's benched. We're starting David Luiz, who misses a penalty in that game as well, starting Oriol Romeo. In the Valencia game, Lampard is also benched.
Yeah.
And in this game, that means a lot. And the only reason Chelsea actually even finished top of the group is because Bayer Leverkusen draw with Genk.
Yeah. Otherwise, we would have finished second.
We would have finished second, and that's a completely different story. We probably wouldn't even be having this podcast part right now if it wasn't for that. So it's an incredible amount of luck, and it's an incredible amount of effort on part of the players that makes this happen. This is really the players' trophy, as opposed to other managers that are like that are known for winning the trophy, like Ancelotti. It seems that the secret to winning the Champions League is just let the players do what they do best.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it best. This is a players' trophy as opposed to the club's trophy or even the manager's trophy. With Roberto Di Matteo, when he comes in, you said that he was just letting the players run free and just be themselves. Very true. And the advantage that they had, he was in complete contrast to AVB, because Roberto Di Matteo was a Chelsea player. And so therefore, he probably loved Chelsea, or he at least felt the club in a way that AVB never could. So I'm sure that that helped his cause.
But that's a discussion for next week.
That is a discussion for next week. We're going to get back to it. Good job, Daniel, keeping me on point. So group stage has ended. Group stage level has ended. We got a win, a draw, a win, a draw, a loss, and a win. In that order. So 3 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. We finished top of the group. We beat Bayer Leverkusen by 1 point. Daniel, should we reveal who we are going to play in the first round of knockout stages?
As a teaser.
The round of 16 draw happens, and we get none other than
Napoli.
So it will be a trip to Italy for us. Hey, if you're still hanging out with us, we appreciate you. Right now, we would just like to let you know how you can get a hold of us. We have an email account set up because that's what people do nowadays. It's the 21st century, I think. In case you're listening to this from the future or the past.
If people are listening to this from not the 21st century, that's a job well done for us, I think.
That'd be amazing. Can you imagine if aliens... Can you imagine if aliens come in and invade our world and something happens and we can't communicate with them, but they're tasked with like taking 25 different things to their civilization to study us and to understand us and everything? One of the things they took was the Academy of Blues podcast.
That's a different podcast. My goodness. That's a different podcast topic.
Yeah. Anyways. Before the aliens get to us.
But imagine if they do that, and then they hear us talking about them taking it.
Oh, that'd be incredible. Happens?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Now it almost needs to happen.
Yeah, let's just make it happen.
But before they
That's a tangent.
Before they do that, we would like to invite you to get in touch with us before the aliens get in touch with us. We have an email account. It is academyofblues@gmail.com, right?
That is true.
Okay.
We also have an Instagram and a Twitter. We
also do have an Instagram and also a Twitter.
At Academy of Blues as well. If you'd like to throw a follow.
Throw a follow.
At us, you know. That's what they do.
Throw a follow. You heard it here first. So with that said, lingo. I think this is the end of this week's episode. I have to say, this has been the worst closing to an episode we've ever done. But I'm just going to leave it exactly like this. I'm not going to fix it.
You're not going to cut anything from this.
No, I will not. So with that, again, happy birthday, Daniel. Thanks for working just a day after your birthday. I know typically you have like 7 days, 7 days of birthday bash. So I appreciate that you
took a day off.
Yeah, you took a day off from your birthday bash, but may it continue tomorrow. So thanks for joining us, Daniel. And thanks for joining us, listener. I've been Maddie.
I've been Daniel.
And you have been listening to Academy of Blues, episode 7. We'll catch you next week.